Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're going to continue to look at the seven churches from the book of Revelation. We've been looking at those over this past week. If you haven't had a chance to tune into the program, I'd encourage you to go to our website at renewalministries.net. You can listen to the programs right there. Download them on whatever device you'd like to listen to whenever you can. I want to encourage you, the simplest way to get access to the programs is just to download the Renewal Ministries app or the Ave Maria app. Both of those would be good. You can listen to all the programming. It's really good, solid Catholic programming that'll inspire you and inform you and hopefully challenge you. You can listen to it anytime, whenever it's convenient for you. I'm going to start today with the church in Thyatira. Okay, this is, again, one of the seven churches in what is today modern Turkey, churches of Asia Minor at the time. Each of these communities is growing in this large pagan Roman Empire, and it's filled with all kinds of idolatry and sexual immorality and things that were just sort of built into the culture almost in the way of life of a people. You have the imperial cult of the emperor who's insisting that the subjects of Rome would burn incense to acknowledge his sort of either deified state or demigod state. And then there's the reality of the gods of Zeus, Apollo, and the rest. For example, in Thyatira, Apollo, the sun god, and Zeus were the chief deities of the city. And many times there were trade guilds. In this city, it was a center of social and religious life. And again, having their own pagan gods, like many of these cities did. And part of that meant there were festive meals that involved idolatrous worship and sexual immorality. So just like in some of the previous churches that were being addressed, what the Lord is doing is speaking to John about the kind of spiritual strongholds that have taken hold of particular churches, and Jesus is coming to set them free. And he wants to set them free, but they need to cooperate with him. So again, just like in the other seven churches, he begins by saying something about who he is, who it is who's speaking. The title, the Son of God, he uses in this context. It's the most common term that Jesus uses to describe himself. It crossed through the book of Revelation, and it stands in opposite to Apollo, the sun god. This is the real God, Jesus the Lord, right? And it says he has eyes that are a flaming fire. And he sees the heart of things with a holy and penetrating gaze, and nothing can be hidden from the gaze of the Lord. It says his feet are like polished brass, and it's not exactly clear what it means, but some of the commentators say it like connotes power, a judge who threatens wrongdoers in his very appearance, you know? So that's who's addressing this church in Thyatira. The diagnosis he brings to this church, he says, I know your works, your love, your faith, your servants' service, and your endurance. So there's real Christian life happening there, right? There's acts of charity. There seems to be growth. And of course, the heart of what Christian community is meant to be about is living in love, love of God and love of neighbor. He says, your last works are greater than the first. So there's some kind of growth happening. They're bearing some measure of fruit as a community. But then he says, okay, that's the positive side of the diagnosis. But he said, I hold this against you. Now we see the negative diagnosis. And he says this, you tolerate the woman Jezebel. Now, this is not literally a woman by that name, I don't think, at least many of the commentators don't think so. But what it's referring to is someone is teaching, a woman is teaching, she's a prophetess in the community, and she's like Jezebel in the Old Testament, who was the wife of King Ahab, and she promoted idolatry in Israel and the worship of the pagan god Baal. And so this prophetess is claiming to speak for God, and she's tolerating, she's communicating false teaching. She calls herself a prophetess, and she's just misleading, and she's misleading the people to be soft on, again, the whole area of sexual immorality, to say, oh, it's not a big deal, it's just what we do in the culture, that kind of thing, and also eating food sacrificed to idols. So violating two fundamental commands, it's the constant temptation. It's difficult for the church to not accommodate to the broader culture. It's something every Christian community throughout history has to stand alert to. And so here we are in this season of Lent. It's a season of purification. It's a season of repentance. It's a season of pursuing and surrendering our lives more fully to Jesus with the desire to walk in holiness. And these teachings that we get from Jesus' direct shepherding and pastoring and his teaching and his exhortations and warnings to the churches in Asia Minor are very instructive for us. Asking ourselves the question very simply, in what way am I accommodating myself to the broader culture? Where have I allowed compromise to enter into my life? Have I put things in my life, money, sex, power, whatever, ahead of God? What do I do with my time, my talent, my treasure? Where's my heart? What's my parish like? What's my diocese like? And, you know, there's a lot that's been revealed the last number of years in the weakness of the church that's being exposed. And a lot of it is a compromise with sin and the judgment of the Lord. The redemptive discipline of the Lord is on the church. And so Jesus puts his finger on this and that something needs to be done. So the imperative is this. The command is this. Jesus says, I've given her, that is Jezebel, this woman who's a prophetess, I've given her a time to repent. And this is important. Jesus always comes to us in mercy. He knows our weakness. He knows our frame. And he calls us, and hopefully the preaching of the church calls us out of compromise into repentance. But she, in this case, refuses. And she persists in her harlotry, basically. She's been warned, and she refuses. God delays punishment of judgment in favor of mercy because he wants us to repent. But because she didn't repent, this is one of the hardest descriptions of God's judgment in the New Testament. He said, I will therefore cast her on a sickbed because she refuses. He said, I will plunge those who commit adultery into intense suffering unless they repent of their works. So what happens is when God comes in mercy and we don't respond, the next step of a good shepherd is to apply severe mercy. He's trying to get our attention because the thing that we're trapped in this case, adultery and idolatry, is it'll kill us eternally. And it's leading them into slavery, some of the people in the community, and to darkness. And she's still teaching in that community. Okay, he says, I will bring great distress upon her practices. And because she permits idolatry and the leaders of the community doesn't seem to be like they're doing anything about it. I will also put her children to death, meaning those who are following her and believing it, right? Thus shall the churches come to know that I am the searcher of hearts and minds, and that I will give each of you what your works deserve. This is a dimension of who Jesus is. He's the holy God, and he's at war against sin. So if we unite ourselves to sin and then identify ourselves with habit patterns of sin, things that are clearly offensive to God, he's going to bring judgment against it. And he wants us to repent. If we die in that sin, we will die eternally separated from him. And so he's trying to instill a holy fear, a holy, healthy fear of God so that they can gain wisdom. And then he eventually talks about the rewards for those who will overcome, those who will listen. He said, those who keep my ways to the end, I will give authority over the nations. He will rule over them with an iron hand. So these are kind of a reference to Psalm 2, the messianic king who's given rule over the entire nations. Those who overcome, Jesus will give a share in his kingship. And so he wants us to know what lies before us and what we give up by compromising and accommodating to the broader culture. He said, I also give you the morning star. Jesus himself is the morning star, and we will rise with Christ and radiate with him in glory for all eternity in absolute freedom. I want to talk now just for a few minutes about the church in Sardis. It's 35 miles southeast of Thyatira. It's a relatively wealthy place. It's got some trading success, lots of prosperous Jewish people in the community, got a big, large Jewish synagogue present. And so Jesus addresses this church. He said, he first begins again by helping them understand who is it that's speaking to them. He said, I'm the one who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. The New Testament, the Holy Spirit is this, in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is the spirit of Jesus. The church talks about the seven spiritual gifts that's given to us, and it's represented here by the seven spirits. And the seven stars are the guardians of the church in each one of these little communities. And Jesus is reminding them, where are they? They're in the palm of his hand. Everything is going to be okay. All is well, no matter what the circumstances are, if we're being faithful to the Lord. And we'll be faithful to the Lord if he's indeed our first love. If we seek to make the first commandment first in our life, to really love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. This is what the Holy Spirit wants to help us with. This is how he wants to share with us his manifold gifts so that we can individually and corporately grow and be healthy as we walk in the purpose for which we're created, love of God and love of neighbor and the extension of the kingdom of God in the world. Jesus diagnoses this community in Sardis. He said, I know your works, your reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Something's going on in this community. They're not walking in the first commandment, second commandment in some way. And the Lord is saying, there's something dying in you spiritually, and he's coming to call them and bring them back to life. He never just stands off with his diagnosis. He is the true physician, and he wants to come to bring us into full healing. So he says, first, be watchful. This is something that's talked about quite a bit in Jesus' teaching, especially in the Gospels when he's talking about the return of the Lord. This is a posture the church is meant to be in. We know we're living in spiritual battle in our lives. And so this exhortation is one of the primary ones that Jesus gives us. Be watchful and strengthen what is left. Keep strengthening the body through good teaching, good formation, keeping first things first, cleansing the mind and the heart with the Word of God, with the life of the sacraments of the church, that we're living in it together, a community of people moving in the light. He said, I've not found your works complete in the sight of God. There's some kind of compromise, partial obedience. Jesus wants the whole heart. He wants us to be authentically surrendered, not in a place of compromise. And so he says, be watchful and strengthen what's left. Pay attention to what's left. And he says, then remember how you accepted and you heard what you received from God, how God first called you and why he called you. It's a good thing for us to think about. Do you remember how God called you? What he said to you in your life, times of greatest union with him. What did he give you? What did he call you to? He said, remember these things, keep them, and repent and turn away from anything that would lead you away from it. Here's his warning. If you're not watchful, I will come like a thief. I will come. Jesus comes to do one of three things, to promote his people, to prune his people, or to discipline his people. In this case, he's coming with a redemptive discipline. Like a thief, he said, I'm going to come at a time you'll least expect me to come. He said, but you do have a few people in your community who have not soiled their garments. They're walking with the Lord in purity and holiness and in his victory. And Jesus says, now for those who hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, if you take it to heart and you overcome with my grace, I will dress you in a white garment. That's a white garment of victory. What it means. God's victory will completely lay hold of you. And the white garment is an expression of the purity that God himself will work in us in his grace through the Holy Spirit. He said, I will never erase your name from the book of life. You know that in heaven, there is a book with each one of our names in it. And the Lord is keeping track of who we are, what we've decided to do with our time and energy. He said, where all the names of God's children are written. And this is a beautiful one. He said, they're all beautiful. They're all wonderful, by the way, these rewards for the overcomer. He said, I will acknowledge your name in the presence of my Father and of the angels. Jesus will tell the story to the Father and to all the angels of heaven, what kind of friend you were, what kind of friend I was. And if I was walking in faithfulness and trusting in him, remember what Jesus said, if you acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. If you don't acknowledge me before men, I won't acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. Friends, let's take Jesus' words to heart in this season of Lent. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Unfailing Promises. In these challenging and unsettling times, the promises of God are a sure anchor and a source of great encouragement for all of us. For your free copy of Unfailing Promises, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.